I want to talk to you this morning about a man. I don't remember reading in the scriptures anything about his marital status, so therefore I don't know if he was a father. But the Bible does give us many characteristics of this man that if we are a father, we of course would want to follow. And also, if we are Christians, that we would want to follow. One of the incidents in the life of this man is found in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 22. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful to you, and we praise you and lift our hearts in love and adoration for all that you have done for us. Heavenly Father, help us all to be followers of Jesus Christ, but help us also to see the characteristics of other Christian men and women throughout your word, and how they followed you, and how they held up, and how they were strong unto the end, that they could hear the words, "Good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Help us, Lord, to learn to be a good example for others. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. There are many heroes of the faith that we have come to know, and even as children we have studied and tried to follow them. We have Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, the apostles, Peter, Paul, many others. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. "But be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's a bold statement, isn't it? How many of us are willing to make that statement today to other people? Follow me. Follow me as I am a follower of Jesus Christ. When I look at that, I realize that, yes, I would want people to follow me in the way of the Lord, but I make mistakes. But overlook those, please, and follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Praise God that he has, in many generations and in every need, raised up men who have stood head and shoulders taller than the rest of us as they have been used of God. But there are others throughout the scriptures that don't seem to get all of the headlines that these men get, but still they are used of God. We come across a man such as this. We first hear of him in the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. The man's name is Joseph, but immediately the apostles give him a nickname. He is called Barnabas, and we find then that name is used afterwards to talk about Joseph. Barnabas means that he was a son of exhortation, or that he was a son of encouragement. Barnabas knew how to encourage other people to greatness. It is sometimes easier to identify with somebody like this. Let's look at some of the reasons in the scripture that they call Barnabas a good man. Barnabas, Luke says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was a good man. Let's again go back. As we said, we're first introduced to Barnabas in the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, the last part of that 4th chapter. where it says in verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I don't believe that we can be considered good as far as scriptural or spiritually is concerned until we become proficient in the area of stewardship. Now, of course, we know there are several areas of stewardship in the Bible. There's our stewardship of time. There's our stewardship of talents. There's our stewardship of money, just to name a few. One of the areas pointed out in the scripture where Barnabas was good was with his possession. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the church, the new church, was in its infancy. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, we read that on the day of Pentecost, this Pentecost, the church began. And Paul and Peter, rather, as the other apostles preached, and Peter preached the main sermon, and 3,000 more and more people were won and baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, many of the Jews came from far away for celebration of certain Jewish festivals. One of them was Passover, and another one was Pentecost. Passover appeared 50 days before Pentecost, so some of these Jews from far away had stayed for Pentecost. And lo and behold, an amazing thing happened, and the church began, as we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and they became Christian. And rather than going home, they wanted to know more about this God and his son, Jesus Christ, and what it meant to be a Christian, and so they stayed on and tarried in Jerusalem longer. Well, you can imagine what would happen if they'd been there that long. They didn't bring provisions for an extended stay, and so they had to rely upon the Christians in Jerusalem. And what would that do to the Christians in Jerusalem? It would tax them, tax their resources, and they were running out of money and goods. And this is where Barnabas and also others stood up at this time, and if they had property or land, they sold it and laid that money at the apostles' feet. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us who the other ones are that did this, but for some reason it points out that Barnabas was one who was very efficient in his Christian life in Christian stewardship. What does that mean to us? It means, first of all, that Barnabas gave himself to the Lord. When he became a Christian, he realized that he surrendered everything that he had to Jesus Christ. It means that he understood the term lordship of Jesus. We're very happy to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, aren't we? Man, oh, living, here's a gift from God, and he promised us salvation through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. But that salvation, that Savior also wants to be the Lord. And we don't understand lordship so much as they did back then. He wants to be the Lord of our life. The first step in Christian stewardship is to recognize that God is the absolute owner of all things. Do you agree with that? God is the absolute owner of everything. This is an important part of our understanding. We don't own. Now, we might have the title of many things, but they don't belong to us. They belong to God. God is the creator and owner, the absolute owner of all things. Let's look at Acts 20, chapter 20 and verse 35 for a moment. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We get more blessings out of what we give away than we do of what we keep or what other people give to us. Again, Jesus says in Luke 6, the 38th verse, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye met, withal it shall be measured to you again. How will we be blessed? By God? How will we be blessed by others? In the measure that we give of ourselves to other people. Giving encourages us to practice unselfishness or generosity. Giving helps us to have the proper view of material things. Giving helps us to model the life of Jesus Christ. How much did Jesus give for us? His all. Giving results in eternal rewards. Giving teaches us the value of being servants. Giving helps us to be more cheerful, caring people. Giving gives us the opportunity to be example to other people. It's no wonder in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. Barnabas was considered good because he was a man who lived by faith. Back to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. How was this faith expressed in God? Well, first of all, we mentioned it was expressed in the fact that he gave God back that which God had loaned to him or God put into his trust. He had faith in God in that he had faith in others. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not what we can see that we have faith in. It's the God that we have faith in, and we have faith in that what he promises us, he is going to deliver to us. Barnabas showed his faith by being available to go where the Lord sent him. In the incidents in Acts, the 11th chapter, Barnabas was serving the Lord in Jerusalem, and it came word that there was a church that had been planted in Antioch, and it was growing, and they needed help. So who did they send? They sent Barnabas. Barnabas went with Paul on his first missionary journey, and then later he goes again on another missionary journey, this time with Mark, or John Mark. Barnabas had faith in others. Saul had gone to Damascus to persecute Christians. On the way, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and we heard and know about his conversion. After his conversion, Saul wanted to go to Jerusalem, back to Jerusalem. He was sent from Jerusalem. He wanted to go back to Jerusalem and join himself with the disciples. And how do you think the disciples reacted to that? They didn't want anything to do with this guy. He was a persecutor. But it was Barnabas who stepped in and stood by Paul's side and introduced him to the other Christians. And then he became accepted. Barnabas stood by John Mark. John Mark had been picked up on the first missionary journey and was traveling with Paul and Barnabas. And for some reason, the Bible doesn't tell us why, but John Mark turned back. So later, as they were getting ready for the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas were talking it over and who they were going to take, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark. But Paul didn't. And there was a dissension between the two of them. And so it was split up that Barnabas took Mark and went one way, and Paul took Silas and went another way, and the kingdom was increased. Proverbs 27:7 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpeneth another. Barnabas was an iron sharpener. He was a man sharpener. He believed in God. He believed in other people. And he showed that by becoming a mentor to them. The Apostle Paul became the great missionary to the Gentiles. He wrote 13 New Testament books. John Mark became a helper with Peter and later with Paul. And later Paul writes, send me Mark because he is going to be a help in my ministry. The mark of a good leader is the ability to delegate and put others to work. Not to do the work of 10 men, but to put 10 men to work. A couple other areas where Barnabas was a leader and was called a good man was in the fact that he was a missionary. When God called him, he was willing to go. We don't sing the old hymns as much as we used to, but one of the old hymns I have trouble with, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. You ever have trouble singing that song? What if God told you to sell what you had and go somewhere else? Would I be willing to do that? Barnabas was willing to do that. Barnabas was a good man because he was a spiritual man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was fully surrendered to God. Acts 5 and verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. How did Barnabas receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? He was obedient to God. How do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? How do we become good people? How do we become spiritual leaders? We become obedient to God. We could all be called a good person in the Christian sense. If our stewardship is according to the will of God, if our faith is as strong as Barnabas and other Christian examples, if we've listened to God's command to go, and if we are living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How do you measure up this morning? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord, not the Savior, but the Lord of your life? Would you be willing, as Barnabas, first of all to Antioch and then throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, we're going to give you the invitation this morning, the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and to begin that walk, which may not go quite as far as Barnabas went in the Christian faith, but be assured of this, God will lead you, and he will lead you to other people, and we pray that he will lead you to influence their life for him. Have you any room this morning for Jesus? Won't you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation?